God, we come before you. God, with hearts that are not pure, with hearts that see this world and are so easily distracted, so easily influenced. God, I'm so sorry for the ways that when we see this world, we view it through our own eyes and what we think is right, not through your heart and what you know is true, God. God, we pray that may you take our hearts and you may you make them yours. God, no matter how much we may fight against or how much we may try to walk in a different direction, God, may you capture our hearts for yourself. God, may you captivate us. Because you are a God who is mighty and who is wonderful, and who is glorious. God, take our hearts and may you truly transform us from the inside out. That what we do isn't just because it's the right thing or the Christian-y thing. But God, it's simply an outpour of our love and our admiration for you. God, I pray that as we come today that you would give us those hearts as we listen to what Pastor Jim has to say. God, may you speak through him. May you use his words to declare your truth, God. And may you give us hearts that are receptive, that are repentant, God. So God, we thank you and we acknowledge and we give this space to you, God. May you guide the words that we say and the actions that we do. May they be pleasing to you. So we pray all those things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry. Glad everybody showed up on the right time. We'll see in an hour, right? We'll see. Having grown up in both the U.S. and in Taiwan, I've spent time in both places, and one of the customs that I could never get consistent in doing was this custom of tipping. Now, in Taiwan, tipping isn't really a thing. It's not expected. You don't come across it often. Some people might know what it is, but it's just not expected. When you eat at a restaurant and you pay the bill, right, what's on the bill is what you pay. That's it. Once I left a tip, because me being from the U.S., I do that. And I left a tip, and I'm heading out the door, and, the waitress yells at me, and she's like, hey, you left your money on the table. Because she thought it was an accident. I'm like, I see what's going on here. Same thing with taxi drivers. When you get to your destination, the price on the meter is what you pay. And again, I've given the taxi driver, keep the change, you keep it. And they're like looking for change. I'm like, no, you keep it. It's yours. It's fine. And they're like, why? Why should I keep the change? It's yours. There are all these industries in the U.S. where tipping is not only normal and acceptable, but it's even expected, right? It's even expected. So what happens if you, say, stay at a hotel in a foreign country? Is tipping the hotel staff there, should you do it? Well, I don't know, because I don't want to impose my customs on somebody else, right? I don't want to offend them. Tipping is strange because in many parts of the world, people just do their job. People just do their job. They signed the contract, they agreed on the wages, and they're perfectly happy just fulfilling their duties. They're perfectly happy just fulfilling their duties. But in other parts of the world, like the U.S., we reward good service, don't we? We reward good service. The better you do, the more you earn in this kind of a system. But does this principle, this idea of tipping and rewarding good service, does this hold true in the church? Does this hold true in the church? When we serve God, is it for tips? Is it for recognition, props, perks, something else? Do we serve God for tips? That's the question I want us to ask ourselves today, this morning. What should we expect from serving the Lord? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17? Luke chapter 17, verse 7 to 10 is our text for today. All right, verse 7. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and recline at table"? Will he not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink"? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask you to teach us our place. Teach us who we are in relation to you. Even in the context of ministry, Lord, how should we do ministry? What should we expect out of ministry? Father, I pray that you would convict us, that you would convict me as well, that you will speak to us and change the way that we see you and the way that we serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of us here are serving in some capacity in this church, whether it's worship team or a small group leader, a Sunday school teacher, a youth leader, et cetera, et cetera. I'm really grateful that this is not a congregation where I need to beg and force you to serve. It's not, and I'm really thankful for that. Because you know what? Ultimately, serving, it's not for me. You don't serve me. You don't even necessarily serve for this church. You're serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord, and your service to the Lord, that's between you and him. That's between you and your master. Jesus has a lot to say about the master-servant relationship, what it's supposed to look like, what to expect, what it's to cost. And in our passage today, he teaches his disciples about the place of a servant. It's my first point, where we stand in relation to our master, our place. And Jesus, he begins our passage with this rhetorical question. It's a rhetorical question. It's meant to be kind of shocking, a little absurd. It's meant to evoke an immediate, no way. And he asks this question. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and recline at table"? And we're supposed to be like, no way. Now, at first glance, though, when we read this, we might feel or even suppose, well, why not? Why not, we think? Well, what's the big deal? Why wouldn't a master invite a servant to, "Hey, kick back, relax. You know, you did a good job. You've been out in the field a long time. Relax." Right? Why not? Why wouldn't a master ask? Now, there's a couple reasons why I think this illustration is lost on us a little bit. First is because of our unfamiliarity with the nature of these jobs that Jesus is talking about. It's hard for us to identify with farmers and shepherds. I mean, how many farmers or shepherds do you know? How many farmers or shepherds do you know? Most of our jobs, I would say, are relatively safe. They're relatively clean. They're relatively structured. Perhaps a 9-to-5 in a nice air-conditioned office building somewhere. Or maybe some of us even get to work from home, right? We get to sit in our pajamas and telecommute from our computers. But the kinds of jobs that Jesus is talking about, he's talking about hard, manual labor. The kind of jobs that most of us would see as beneath us. The kind of jobs, these beneath us. These are the jobs that somebody else will take care of. Somebody else will do these jobs. A farmer plowing a field. Well, nowadays, you know, farmers, they have tractors to plow, right? And they get to just sit there on their tractor, and they drive the tractor, and it'll just plow entire rows, right? You've seen the what are those things called? The tractor plows, right? It'll plow you, what, like 10 rows at a time, right? Just. But in biblical times, farmers, right, they woke up way before dawn, still dark out, and they would spend an entire day out in the field, you know, sweating, plowing by hand, or they'd have to follow behind a beast of burden. One row at a time, one row at a time. It would take them all day long. Right? They probably wouldn't even finish the whole field in a day. One row at a time. It was hard. It was sweaty work. It's difficult. Same thing with a shepherd's work. Nowadays, when you think of a shepherd, wow, you know, a shepherd is it's a good and caring, and it's a good job, right? But back then, a shepherd was an unskilled, low-class job that nobody else wanted to do. It was the worst job you could get. Because shepherds, they would spend their entire day watching out for wolves, keeping their flock on track as they would graze, they'd walk through the field. The shepherd would have to walk constantly. I'm sure they, stepped in some sheep poo, right? Being a shepherd was an unglamorous, smelly, dirty job. And so, you know, we're just not used to that kind of work anymore. Our jobs are sanitized, professional, and I think so are our ministries, our acts of service, to some degree. It's safe, it's comfy, it's cozy. We know what to expect. And it's not backbreaking and sweaty and hard. When Jesus talks about these servants serving a master, we're not struck by the difficulty of the work. The back-breaking nature of the work, the blood, the sweat, the tears that go into just your everyday work. We miss out on a visceral connection with Jesus' illustration. Another reason why we fail to connect with this, what Jesus is saying, is a little confusion on the word itself that he uses. Ours is translated as servant. Servant, right there. Who of you has a servant? Now, servant, it's really too light of a translation. You know, when I think of a servant, I think of like a butler or even a maid. There was a brief period of time when I was living in Taiwan. We hired a Filipino maid to help us around the house, cooking and cleaning. And we always paid her well. We treated her like family. She had the weekends off, and she was like part of our family. But the biblical idea of servant that Jesus refers to here, it's much different. We're not talking about a maid, a live-in maid, or a butler. Okay? We're not talking about, like last week we talked about the trustee, right, a steward. We're not talking about an employee or just a hired hand here. The word Jesus uses is a very specific word. It's a very specific word. It's doulos. And I think a better translation is bond servant or even a slave. Even a slave. He uses this word, doulos. Now, slave. We avoid that word, slave, due to the negative connotations that it brings, right? Slave. And we think of beatings. We think of whipping and hanging and lynchings, right? And so we avoid these words, slave and slavery, because it's so closely linked to these shameful events in our national past. No, we would never say we're slaves. No, servants, right? Servants of God. It sounds so much nicer than slave of Christ. So much more palatable, so much more encouraging. Right? We're servants of God. That feels good. I want to be a servant of God, right? But when we say that, we miss out on this biblical understanding of doulos, of ownership, right? Of a kurios, a master owning their slave, their doulos. That concept of ownership is so completely antithetical to the American individualism and freedom that we champion, where, you know, we do what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And if we're going to do someone else's bidding, it's going to be on our terms and by our choice. It's all about us. But the essence of a doulos couldn't be more opposite. Servants. Servants are hired or they volunteer to serve. But doulos, slaves, they were owned by a master. They were owned. A doulos knew their place. And it definitely wasn't at the master's table, lounging. Can you imagine that? A doulos, a slave, lounging, right, relaxing, being waited on even. A slave being waited on, right, that would have been absurd. And so when Jesus asks this question, it's meant to be, no way, no way. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. A slave reclining at the master's table, ridiculous. Verse 8. Will he, the master, not rather say to him, the slave or servant, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So now Jesus, he moves on to what is expected of a servant. What is expected of a servant? Guess, it's to serve, right? To serve the master. Surprise, surprise. A servant's job is to serve the master. I imagine it like this, okay? Pretend I'm the master here. Doulos, prepare me supper. Prepare me my supper. I'm feeling a bit celebratory today. You know, cook me my favorite meal. Okay, steak and lobster. Surf and turf, steak and lobster. And I want a little bit of scalloped potatoes on the side and a glass of red wine. And just leave the bottle there. Oh, and get yourself cleaned up. Get yourself cleaned up. Look at you. Smell yourself. Nasty. Get yourself cleaned up. Dress yourself nicely. You know, you're making me lose my appetite here. And wait. Okay. Wait at my table. I want you to wait at my table in case I need something. You are a waiter, so wait. Wait. That's kind of the picture. We see that the master has the right to command these things of his servant. Because it's not about the servant and what the servant wants. It's about the master. The master's pleasure takes priority. And afterward, the servant may eat and drink. Afterward, the servant may eat and drink. And not only that, the master doesn't even need to thank the servant. Right? Again, another one of these rhetorical questions that Jesus asks. Verse 9, does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? Again, this is supposed to evoke no, of course not. You don't need a master doesn't need to thank his slave. The answer is an implied no. No, you don't thank your servant because the servant is just doing their job. The servant is just doing their job. Now, this is a really hard teaching. I when I read this week, I struggled. This is hard. This is harsh. This is a reality check. I mean, we often think that when we serve God, we are doing Him a favor. When we serve God, we often think we're doing Him a favor. That maybe somewhere along down the road, He's going to return us the favor. But what is Jesus saying here in these verses? No, it's our duty. We don't get extra rewards for doing our duty. You know what we get? We get the honor and privilege of serving the Master in the first place. Have you ever been to a restaurant, like a cafe or a diner? Usually a small mom and pop kind of place. And they've got a bunch of pictures on the wall. And, you know, they've got a lot of decorations, but pictures all over the wall. And sometimes on the walls they have these autographed photos, right, framed of famous people who have ever visited their shop before, or this restaurant before, right? At UW, there's this donut shop on 45th. If you went to UW, you might remember it. And on their wall, they've got this proud picture of Bill Gates, right, ordering a donut at the counter. Same thing on Aurora Avenue. There's this famous diner there called Beth's Cafe. Awesome, amazing place. They serve these 12 egg omelets, all you can eat hash browns. And you walk in and, you know, all over the walls there are photos of, you know, famous celebrities and autographs and things like that. Now, can you imagine, right, if a movie star, Oscars was last week, right? A movie star walks in and they have a meal. Can you imagine the server there asking for a tip, right? You're serving, I don't know, who's a big movie star? Tom Cruise or, give me a movie star, I don't know. Jennifer Lawrence or something, right? And you're waiting on them and you're serving them and the server asking them for a tip. That would have been ridiculous. Right? No way. The privilege of just meeting and serving this celebrity is enough. Maybe you get a selfie or something, but you don't ask them for a tip, right? In the same way, why should we expect some kind of reward for doing what's expected of us, doing our job, what has been commanded to us? Right? That's just supposed to be absurd. It's supposed to be an absurd thought. Verse 10, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty. All right, so Jesus ends our passage with a downer. Again, another downer. Okay, number one, first, we shouldn't even expect a reward. Okay, don't expect a reward. Number two, we've got to perform all our duties as commanded. And now, number three, he wants us to humble ourselves even lower. Get even lower and say, we are unworthy servants. Unworthy servants. Now, this word unworthy, in the King James Version, they use the word unprofitable. I like that. It implies that our service hasn't profited or added anything onto God that He didn't already have. We didn't add something onto God's that He didn't already have. Again, this flies in the face of our experience and our expectations. We like to think that when we serve God, when we do something for Him or we give something to Him, that He owes us. He owes us. At the very least, His gratitude, His thanks, right? Thanks God, or a thank you from God would be nice, right? But I think we've got it backwards. We are the ones who should be thanking Him for allowing us to serve. We should be the ones thanking Him, not Him thanking us. I want to share something with you. Just being honest, and I'm not bragging. Okay, I'm really not bragging. You know, I oftentimes hear from people at church, even this church, And they come up to me and they say, oh, we're so thankful that, you know, you're here, that you're serving. You're doing this and that. Oh, you know, we're so blessed. Okay. And I appreciate their kind words. You know, I appreciate it. I usually say, oh, thank you, you know. But if only they knew, if only you all really knew that I really feel like the blessed one here. I'm the one who's really thankful to be here. I get to do what I love. I get to read and write and teach and talk about the things of God. I love doing that. I love it. You know, I would pay to do these things. In fact, I did. It's called seminary. You pay them to read and write and talk, and you pay them to do these things, you know? And you know what? I would do these things in my spare time as a volunteer. And in fact, I did, as a layperson serving at my previous churches. I would love to do these things. And now, in some crazy twist of fate, I get to do what I love every day and get paid for it. That's the dream. I'm living the dream. God doesn't thank me for doing this. I thank God. You don't have to thank me, right? I thank you. I thank you. I really do. Brothers and sisters, it is sin and pride that makes us think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Beware the danger of self-importance, especially in ministry. We're not doing God a favor by serving him. He's doing us a favor by allowing us to serve. Through service, he molds us more and more into the image of Christ. Service allows us and molds us into the image of Christ, the Son of Man, who did not come to be served, but to serve, who emptied himself, taking the form of a doulos, a bond servant, a slave even, obedient to his Father's will. Jesus did his duty. That, I think, should be our motivation for serving. It's not to get stuff done because we feel like it just needs to get done. It's not to feel good about ourselves and pat ourselves on the back. And it's certainly not to gain tips from God. We serve to open ourselves up to know Christ more deeply. Ministry, it is not a vacation. It is work. It is work. Not quite as physically exhausting or demanding as plowing a field every day or shepherding all day long. But ministry, it requires just as much patience and discipline, right, to sow spiritual seeds, knowing you're not going to see fruit for years. Still you go and sow every day. Ministry requires just as much love and care to look after those who are vulnerable and lost, and even those who are trying to run away from the fold. Ministry is hard work. Ministry is the work of a doulos. It's much more fun to lounge and relax, sit there and be served, right? But that's not our place. Those of us who call Jesus Lord and Master, we need to remember that we are his slaves, bondservants. We are doulos. And it is our duty and our privilege to serve him. It is our duty and our privilege to serve our Master. There are a lot of things that I love about the church. And one of my absolute favorite things is that in here, we are all the same. We're all equals in the body of Christ. Regardless of what we are outside these walls, could be a doctor or a professor, or a housewife, or a student, a custodian. Doesn't matter what you are out there. In here, we are all equally unworthy servants saved by grace. Just learning to be like Christ. We're all equals. And I love that. I love that about the church. One of the biggest lessons that I ever learned was from an older gentleman at a previous church. I had been at that church for about a year, and I noticed over my year there that every Sunday morning, he'd wear his suit and tie, but then he would go, and then he would go to the bathrooms, and he would clean out the bathrooms in his suit and tie. He would, you know, get down there and then scrub the toilets. He would mop the floor in his suit and tie. He did this every Sunday for the entire year that I was there. Every Sunday morning he was there. And it wasn't until a year later that I found out who this guy was. He's actually a professor at a nearby university. And not only was he just a professor, he was a big deal. Apparently he was a big deal. He was the academic dean of the entire department. He was in charge of the entire doctoral program for his department. And you would never have guessed that from his faithfulness, scrubbing church toilets every Sunday morning without complaint. Never complained. Not once. And I'd seen him do that for a year, but I know for a fact he'd been doing that for years and years and years, probably 10, 15 years at least. He wasn't paid. He wasn't recognized. He just knew his place as a doulos, as a bond servant, a slave of Christ. He knew his place. And he taught me more about servanthood than any of the books that I ever read, besides this one, of course. He knew his place. Brothers and sisters, we all have our place. We are unworthy servants. We are unworthy servants. Did you know that? We are unworthy servants. So let us serve, right? With humility and grace, the one who is worthy. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, how easy it is for us in ministry to be puffed up with pride and self-importance, thinking we're better than we ought to be. Father, forgive us. Help us to know our place as slaves. Help us to do the difficult things, the dirty work even, without complaint. Help us to do them because it is our duty, because it pleases the Master. Lord, strengthen us and help us to be faithful in whatever it is that you've called us to do. Thank you for the opportunities to grow, to be more like Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you guys will all stand, and so we can sing this song in response to the message.
To trust and obey. not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
God, you're a God who is completely faithful, who is consistent, and God, may we know that not just in our minds, but may we understand that with our hearts, God, and may, as a result, may we live like we trust you. Not just know that we trust you, God. And so, God, whatever it is, may you pull on our hearts in ways that you desire us to go, God. And may you challenge us in ways that stretch our trust and make us need to trust you more, God. So, God, we just want to come and recognize the fact that we are doulos, God. God, may you remind us consistently. Let us not walk our own path, what we think is right, but truly focus on you, God. And because we see who you are, because we see how mighty you are, God, may we recognize our place and who we are in light of that. So God, as we go from this place, may we not forget the words that were spoken here, but may we continue to live them out, God. So we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Evangelical Chinese Church, and this is the English service. Before I do the announcements, I'd like to invite Elder David to come up and do some ministry updates.
Thank you, Derek. So some of you guys know once a month we have a ministry highlight, and this month the ministry highlight is going to be on men's group. So I think, you know, it's really wonderful that we come here every Sunday. There's some worship songs, we listen to a great sermon but with Pastor Jim, but afterwards we all go home, and there isn't really a great chance for us to connect with one another. And the truth is, you know, our lives are messy sometimes, and it's hard sometimes for us to see how we can live this Christian life. Even with great principles and stuff like that. I remember when I was a kid, there was a bunch of fairy tales my mom used to read me, and it always ends like they lived happily ever after. Unfortunately, for most of us, our lives isn't exactly happily ever after. We all have struggles. We all have areas that are sometimes tough. And it's great, I think, for our church to have an opportunity, or for a fellowship like men's group, for us to come together and share a little bit about, you know, what's going on in our lives and how we're coping with our lives on a day-to-day basis. The men's group, really, it's all the available men from the English Fellowship. We get together three times a month. It's usually the first, second, and fourth Wednesdays of each month. A number of us open up our houses. Great. A number of us open up our houses, and we get together on Wednesday night. We meet at 7 p.m. until about 8:30. Sir Sane is the person that's actually in charge. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it here today, and that's why I'm making this announcement. And he keeps us pretty much on track. Sir Sane's very good at this. We start very promptly at 7, and we're very thankful for him, because unlike the women, we end on time. So, you know, you guys are all welcome to come. And during this time, like we said, we rotate in different people's houses, right? This month is at my house. I think next month is Andrew's place. The place time after that is Sir Sane's place. The time after that is Pastor Jim's place. So, you know, if you ever wonder, you know, what it is we look like in our natural habitat, you're welcome to join us, because you'll be able to see everybody's house. You know who is neat and who is messy. Sorry. Oh, did I point to you, Andrew? Sorry. And so really, we get together, we do a little bit of sharing. Oftentimes, it's just a little bit about what was being preached that Sunday. Sir Sane usually finds a passage for us to go through. We read through the passage, and we just get together and share our thoughts. After that, we talk a little bit about our lives, about any prayer requests that we might have, and we pray for each other through the week. So it's really a great opportunity for the men to get together during this time. But in addition to that, there's also special events that we do. We're trying to do this once a quarter. We might, you know, I think there's been barbecue. I don't know if we've ever done bowling, or maybe I wasn't there. Also, we're trying to do some joint events. This year, we're planning to have a men's retreat, and hopefully something in terms of community service. So if you guys are interested or would like to join us for the men's group, contact any of us, you know, Pastor Jim, Brody, Andrew, Derek, myself, any of the men that has been attending this, let us know, and we can cue you in a little bit more about, you know, where to go and when to meet. Right.
Thank you, Elder David. All right, so for anybody who's interested, again, come talk to us. We'd be glad to share. There's a joint service coming up that I like to highlight. It's on April 1st. So if you have any friends or people that you would like to invite, this would be a great time to invite them to our church. It'll be a joint combined service with the Chinese. So think about it. It's 3 weeks away, okay? 3 weeks will go by really quickly. So if somebody that you're thinking about talking to and want to invite, please think about it now, and then, or, you know, pitch them, you know, some kind of sales pitch, so to speak, to think about it, invite them, have them join us, okay? We'd really love to see them. After we dismiss, don't forget we have some fellowship time, so you can have some snacks. And afterwards, we do have youth Sunday school, which we'll meet in the fellowship hall. We have adult English Sunday School, which meets behind here. And a reminder, we do have the baptismal class that will meet in the back area here. So if you are also interested in baptism, please talk to either myself or Elder David, and we'd be glad to talk to you about that. All right, thank you.
We have couple minutes for silent prayer and reflection, and then I will close this out.
Father, thank you for calling us here to this church. We thank you for the many opportunities that we have to serve you. Lord, I pray that you would stir us in our hearts a willingness to serve for the right reasons and the right motivation. Lord, help us to serve because we want to know Christ. We want to become more like Christ. Lord, continue to teach us our place as servants, as doulos, and in doing so, I think we'll get a clearer picture of the Master. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We're dismissed.